And let's allow the Lord to speak to our hearts. If you open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5 today, I'd like to proclaim the last message of our sermon series, The Confident Victory, which is ours. And the question we're asking today is, have I overcome the world? As I said, today we will conclude this sermon series from the book of 1 John. And as we do, I want us to once again hear from this last living apostle in his day, one who walked with Jesus, who talked with Jesus, who ate and slept with Jesus. One who in his early years, along with his brother James, was known as a son of thunder. Sort of sounds like they belong to a motorcycle gang of some sort. You could see them riding down the road with their leather vest and held on the back the Sons of Thunder. But we realize that as time went on, this man who was somewhat of a zealot without a lot of love became known as the Apostle of Love. And now we are sensing this grandfather Christian writing a letter to the church at large, and he sees us, some of us as little children in the faith, and some of us as young men Christians, and some of us as father Christians. And so as he writes this letter, it's a wonderful word of encouragement to believers throughout the ages to walk in assurance, to walk in the knowledge that is knowable about the relationship which every Christian experiences with God through Jesus Christ. And so John was combating those who were saying, you really can't know. But if you want to know, you can know with this deep insider's knowledge. And John throughout has said, no, you know, because it has happened to you, and it's happened to those sitting beside you. And we have the testimony of the Spirit and the testimony of the gospel. We see obedience in your life. We realize the world doesn't mean to us nearly what it used to mean. And he says, therefore, you can know. And that's enough knowledge to act upon. And so today we want to sum things up. In the past few weeks, we've learned that the epistle of 1 John is highly about confidence. We might say assurance. We might say the knowledge that is ours. You can be confident in your Christian walk. I want that to register. And the evidence he gives is enough to stand upon. You can be confident in your Christian walk. This letter is often repeats the word know, K-N-O-W. And about 40 times the word know is used in English. And if you remember, John is combating that Gnostic heresy. And the Greek word gnosis is translated to know. And that means to know by experience. And the Gnostics were saying, yes, you can know by experience, but you need a higher, deeper, more mystical experience to really know. And John said, no, you don't. You know by experience because of the common work of Jesus Christ in your life, and there's lots of witnesses that we're going to talk about today. But today, he adds to this by saying, at the end, you can know by using a different word. It's the word oida, which means you can know as a sure fact. Because of the experience we have, it comes down to an assurance that is greater than an experience. So realize that this word is about confidence. We talked about sin. And John told us, you know, everything that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And he said, don't love the world. Because if you love the world, you're going to live in sin. And he says, we can have a confidence about sin and the victory over sin. And then we talked about life and eternal life. And John says there's a confidence about life on this earth and life for eternity. And we're going to spend some time there today. There's confidence as we look toward the day of judgment. Today we're going to reach the pinnacle of confidence, being sure that we have eternal life. 1 John 5:13 is probably the most quoted verse from 1 John. And it also is probably the most quoted verse about the assurance of eternal life. And John says, these things have I written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. We're going to spend some time there today. Now, do you hear what I say? you can be confident about your walk in Christ. You don't have to be timid. You don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to be in the position of always defending. We're always prepared, ready to give an answer. But you see, we are on the offensive. And you can have a confidence about eternal life, that you're really saved. We talked about love and relationships. John shows us it's more than just God shedding His love on us. It's us shedding our love on each other, giving and receiving love. And as the message of the gospel is communicated, it increases our love for each other. And there's a confidence about the fellowship of the church. And for some of us, you see, we begin to walk more confidently amongst this family than our own blood family. Why? Because of the reality of the kingdom of Jesus Christ that gives us that sure foundation. We talked about discernment through the Holy Spirit, walking in God's anointing. We talked about the truth being the truth and opposing untruth. And God, through His Spirit and His Word, gives us that discernment. And I don't have to compare the words of God to the words of Time magazine to say which one's true. I can have a confidence about the Word being the Word. And I don't have to compare the power of the Holy Spirit to my intuition. And then we would find there's a confidence about the church itself, about the fellowship here, about the one another relationships. And there's a confidence toward our obedience and our repentance. 1 John says we all sin, and if we say we don't sin, then we're a liar. But if we do sin, we confess. And when we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And then as John goes on, he says, we don't sin. And I said to someone this week, you know, I think 1 John can be a little confusing to people. And they said, really? I said, yeah. Because of that kind of advice. But if we would just realize what he's saying there is, we don't continue to live in sin and justify that sin, but once in a while we do sin. And there's forgiveness for that. But we don't justify our sin. We live by the commandments of God. And we're going to flesh that out a little bit further today. And so we realize that John was writing to people just like us. He was 50 to 60 years away from the ascension of Jesus. He had watched the church grow. He had saw the church begin to divide. He saw some teachers who claimed to be Christians drawing people away from the truth of the gospel. So in a very loving shepherd fashion, he speaks to people like us. And he was combating the idea that you could promote a lifestyle built upon the untruth, that you could live any old way you want to and still say you love God and still say you love people. And he says, you can't love your brother and not keep God's commandments. You can't love God and not keep God's commandments. A couple of weeks ago, I ran into a saying in a book of devotion that you cannot pray for someone without loving them. And you can't love someone without praying for them. And that has registered with me, and I think that's really true. You know, when we struggle in relationships, pray directly for that person, and the heart's going to change. And if you love somebody, how can you say you love them if you don't daily take them before the Lord in prayer? Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. I'd like you to say this: I have overcome the world. Would you say that? I? Okay. 1 John 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves Him who begot also loves him who is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have petitions that we ask of him. If anyone sees his brother sinning, a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. So let's examine, let's expound, let's receive encouragement concerning the victory which is ours. And so as we enter in, I would say, how do we then live in that victory? And 1 John 5 tells us how to do that. Number one, you can say, I'm living in confident victory, the confident victory which is ours, when faith is my focus. And I might say the faith. I might say our faith. That's what he said back there in the beginning of chapter 5. He says, this is the victory, our faith. And so as we walk through this life, we must realize that faith is the victory. The victory is celebrated as a result of believing. And believing means not just, you know, accepting in the heart, but living out the gospel of Jesus Christ in our lives. John tells us his commands are not burdensome. They are a joy. The more we live his way, the more we love the freedom from sin and the freedom in keeping his commands. There's great joy in abiding in Jesus Christ. In fact, the further we go, the more we love living his way and learn to pursue a closer, deeper walk with him. We learn, as we've been taught, that there is no fear in this love. So victory is experienced in dealing with sin through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. And John says, you want to know you've overcome the world? You want to live in the victory? Make the faith your focus. Make our faith your focus. And there's no doubt in my mind, some Christians do that and some Christians don't. Some come and politely listen on Sunday morning, receive what they can receive, go out, and their focus becomes something other than the faith. Whether it's making a living, whether it's raising a family, whether it's making money, getting ahead. But the faith, our faith, does not remain their focus. If you want to live in constant victory, you see, keep the cross in front of your eyes. Keep the resurrection in front of your eyes. Keep your sin and its forgiveness in front of your eyes. Now, here's a good teaching. Let's talk about salvation. In salvation, you see, the penalty of sin has been eliminated. Keep that as a focus. You are no longer condemned by sin. You're on your way to heaven, not the way to hell. So that's in salvation. In sanctification, see, the power of sin is being destroyed. That means you're climbing higher and higher. It's getting better and better. Your life is being renewed day by day, as Paul says. And you're living more like Christ in your sanctification. You're more like Him today than you were a year ago. And then ultimately, I want to say something about this later in the chapter. He talks about a sin not leading to death and a sin leading to death. Okay? And so in our sanctification, we realize we still sin. When we're following Christ, if we are not redeemed, like Ananias and Sapphira, sometimes sin leads to death. That does not mean that a person who is saved could not die as a result of their sin, like Ananias and Sapphira. Now, we can maybe debate, were they true believers? But we must realize some people die as a result of sin. And John says there are sins that lead to death and sins that don't lead to death. And he says when someone sins a sin that doesn't lead to death, we ought to intercede for them and ask God to intervene. And that's as we as Christians are walking the walk. So there's salvation, there's sanctification. Ultimately, in our glorification, in our heaven walk, we are delivered from the presence of sin. The presence of sin will be absent. And I always remember this. See, salvation, sanctification, glorification, we're delivered from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, ultimately the presence of sin. When people get hurt and confused while we're living in the presence of sin, they say, why does this bad stuff still happen? And the answer is, we're not in heaven yet. That's why. You see, that's exactly why. Because of the fall of man, the earth is cursed. Everything's imperfect. Then we're pronounced perfect Christ. We still live in an imperfect world. And so there's going to be sin, there's going to be hurt, there's going to be sickness, there's going to be disease. As long as we live on this earth. Now, our lifestyle is a lifestyle of commandment keeping. It is not a lifestyle of sinning. And so we realize if faith is our focus, we normally are commandment keepers. We don't normally sin. We don't try to justify our sin. And that's why John said back in chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But look at verse 18 of today's text. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. See why I say it could be confusing? It's confusing in English. In the Greek, in chapter 5, verse 18, it says, we know whoever is born of God does not live in a lifestyle of sin, does not live in continual sin. Okay? But, back in chapter 1, it says, Christians sin. But we don't continually sin. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from unrighteousness. If we say we've not sinned, we make Him a liar. His word is not in us. An epistle written to believers. So number one, you want to live in victory, focus on the faith. When all of life's decisions and relationships and meaning are filtered through this truth, then our life aligns itself with God's view, and faith, therefore, is the victory. Secondly, you can say, I'm living in the confident victory which is ours when the testimony of our witness becomes my modus operandi. I thought that would get your attention. It means your mode of operation, the way you function every day. Okay? You're living in victory when you believe the witness and the witnesses and their testimony, and you function according to that testimony. Now, there's lots that testify to our spirit. There's things that happen every day that say, God's not there, that say, Jesus isn't the Christ, that say, you can't live in victory, that say, you're not really forgiven, that say, you haven't overcome the world. And so you have these witnesses pouring into one ear, and you have the witnesses mentioned here in the Scripture today pouring into the other. And if you'll live according to the testimony of the witnesses, make that way your way of functioning, you'll live in victory. Let's talk about Jesus Christ first of all. That's what John does in verses 6 through 12. Jesus Christ. Always remember, it's all about Him according to the Word of God. He is God's perfect man and man's perfect God. He's the 100% God-man. He's 100% human and 100% divine at the same time. Those who were striking against the faith in John's day did not believe that. They thought He was either an ethereal existence or only for a period of time did God come down and dwell inside the body of a man. But remember, matter was evil and spirit was good, and they said there's no way He could be what John was teaching He could be. From His birth to His baptism to His crucifixion, He was 100% God-man. After His resurrection, He was in a glorified state of some sort, and then He ascended into heaven and lives in perfection. Now John says there's three that bear witness. Three in heaven. He says that's the Father, the Word, and the Spirit in heaven. And by the way, those few verses are not found in the most ancient manuscripts. Some scholars would say those had to be added in at a later date. It doesn't weaken the argument, though. It's a Trinitarian argument that says in heaven, the Father testifies that Jesus is the Christ. And the Spirit testifies that Jesus is the Christ. And the Word testifies that Jesus is the Christ. Now, uniquely, that's John's verbiage. Remember the Gospel of John? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word is Jesus Christ. And so in heaven, we have these three, God in one, who are saying and agreeing, this is true, this is true, this is true. Will you allow the witness, the testimony of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, to be the witness that you believe and live by? Now on earth, he says, there are these three, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. You want evidence that Jesus is the Christ? You want evidence that God's love is real? You want evidence that you can be sure about eternal life? You want evidence to know that you're really forgiven? You want evidence that you can love me and I can love you and we're going to be in heaven together? He says, accept the testimony of the witnesses in heaven and on earth. On earth they are the Spirit. God's Spirit testifies it is true. If you are a believer, you know His Spirit has testified to your spirit. You know His Spirit is the author of the Word, the written Word. Now what about the water? The water says it's true. What water? The water specifically that John's referring to is the baptism of Jesus. And the blood. What blood? The blood he's referring to is the blood of the crucifixion. From the beginning of His earthly ministry to the end of His earthly ministry, there was the witness. You have the opening and you have the closing. And the water testifies He is the Son of God. When He was baptized, a voice from heaven came and said, this is My Son, in whom I am well pleased. Believe Him. Follow Him. At His transfiguration that happened. At the His teaching following the triumphal entry, the voice of God appeared again. At the cross, we see the evidence of God at work when the curtain was torn in two. You see, and dead saints raised again. Amazing. And so John says, you want a witness? You want a testimony? You want to know? Think about the Spirit and the water and the blood. And he says, now about the witness of men. He said, you have the witness of men, but the witness of God is greater. What witness of men? Men like John the Baptist. Do you remember what his job was? Point to Jesus. I'm not the Christ, He's the Christ. I'm not the Christ, He's the Christ. And we need to do the same, go through our whole life saying, it's not about me, it's not about this church, it's not about anything, it's about Him. Look at Him, look at Him, look at Him. You can look at all the apostles. So the witness of men is part of the testimony, but we have a greater witness, and that's the witness of God Himself, when He spoke especially. Hebrews 1, in these last days He has spoken to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And then, John says, and then there's the witness in Himself with a small h. That's the witness inside of us. There's an eternal, an internal witness as well as external witnesses. His Spirit testifies to our spirit that we belong to Him. We call Him Abba, Father. You want to know? Ask. Have you ever tried to deny your faith? Have you ever tried to say, maybe this isn't true? Maybe I've just been believing all this stuff because it's what I've been hearing. And you know inside you can't do that if you belong to the Lord. You're not permitted to do that. And so there's more evidence, you see, that the testimony is true. 1 John 5:12, he says, "He who has the Son has life." I love that part of 1 John 5:12. You want to know if you're saved? Do you have the Son? And if you don't have the Son, you don't have eternal life. You can have lots of intelligence, you can have happiness, you can have money, you can have followers, you can have lots of things, but if you don't have the Son, you don't have eternal life. So living in victory is faith your focus. Our faith, is that your focus? Is your mode of operation, see, does it stem from the witnesses, the heavenly and the earthly witnesses, the testimony of the Spirit? You see, if I tell you to go out the door and don't tell anybody about Jesus, you couldn't do it. Because those witnesses are testifying to you, and you have to testify to them. John says, this is assurance. Number three, you can say, I'm living in the confident victory which is ours when I know that I have eternal life. And I simply would ask you, do you know you have eternal life? 1 John 5:13. The end of the letter, John says, I've written to these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now, when John wrote that, I can tell you his heart was beating fast. He was saying, here's the climax. It's like writing a novel and letting out all the secrets at one time because he changed from gnosko to oida. We don't see that in English. He says there's this experiential knowledge, there's this experiential knowledge, there's experiential knowledge. 30-some times, he says, you can know it because you've experienced it. And now in 1 John 5:13, he says, I've written to these things that you may know as a fact. That you now have with absolute knowledge that it's true. And the rest of the epistle, anytime you see the word know, except for the last time he uses the word oida, you might have to go home and meditate on that. But he switched from experiential knowledge to absolute knowledge here. That comes from observation. Now, interestingly, he's using an argument almost like what we call how we establish a scientific fact. You see, if something's repeatable, if it happens over and over, and it's observable and verifiable, we say it's true. And that's what John has said. He says it happened to Mark McCoy, it happened to Eric Wick, it happened to Marianne Muir, it happened to Andy Lasichak, and it happened to Bob Huber, and everybody here, and we say, wow, it's happening, it's repeatable, it's over and over and over again, it happened to people in the first century, and it's observable, we see the life change, we know what it's like. And he says, now you can know. And so I ask you, brothers and sisters, do you know you have eternal life? And when somebody says to you, let me ask you a question. Do you know for certain that if you died today that you would go to heaven? You don't have to say, I hope so, any longer. You don't have to say, I don't think anybody can know. John says, I've written that you may know. And let me tell you, don't put your faith in your faith. Don't say, I know I'm going to heaven because I believe it. No, you're going to heaven because Christ died on the cross. We have the testimony of the witnesses. You have the Spirit living in you. John says so through the Holy Spirit. And John, if he's inspired by the Holy Spirit, it's the same as God writing. And if God says so and you don't believe it, then unbelief is outweighing your belief. You understand what I'm saying? There's a confidence. If you can trust God that He's alive, then you can trust Him that you're going to heaven. If you can trust God that He created the world, you can trust Him that you're saved. If you can trust God that this is His ecclesia, His called out ones, and not some, you know, bunch of people that just get together for a lecture each week, then you can trust Him that you have eternal life. You can know. And John says, this is enough evidence that it gives you confidence. You don't have to have a special knowledge, is what he's saying to those first century heretics. They were out saying, oh, you can't know, but you can know if you have this insider's knowledge. And John said, no, you don't have to have any inside knowledge, because you know by experience. It's a common everyday experience. And because everybody has that, and it's worked over time the same way all the time, now you know by observation that it is true. Fourthly, you can say, I'm living in confident victory, the confident victory which is ours, when I know He hears and answers prayer. John says that, not me. He says, after he says that you can know for certain, then he says, now this is the confidence we have. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So let me just remind you, in John's terminology from the Gospel of John, the words of Jesus, He said, ask anything and it's yours. John says it's according to His will. And John says in his Gospel, it's when you are abiding in Christ. And that's true. We take that out of context, it doesn't make sense. If you are abiding in Christ, living in constant relationship with Him, His will and your will become identical. His desires and your desires become identical. His joy is your joy. And when you are abiding, you're going to ask for the things that God wants. And when you ask, He says, it's yours. And John says, here's further evidence for confidence. So I simply ask you, do you know whether or not prayer works? How many of you would say prayer works? Raise your hand if you could give a testimony about prayer. See? And John says there's evidence that it's true. We know it works. With absolute knowledge we know, according to John, because it has worked so many times. And then lastly, you can say, I'm living in the confident victory which is ours when I know that I'm in the world but not of the world. And that's how he concludes that chapter. He says, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself. The wicked does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the evil one, or the wicked one. And we know the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, and His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And John is telling us, us, the Christians, are different than the whole world. The whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. The whole church is under the sway of the pure one, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. So he says, my children, then stay in the truth and stay away from idols, and you'll be living in victory. So in conclusion, I simply ask you, is the faith your focus? On Monday, are you still living according to our faith? Secondly, is the witness your mode of operation? Are you confident about your witness because God is always whispering in your ear, it's true? Don't forget my Son. Don't forget my Spirit. Don't forget the water. Don't forget the blood. Don't forget what John the Baptist said. Don't forget what Luke said. Don't forget. See, you have all of those witnesses. And it becomes your mode of operation. Do you have eternal life? Do you know for certain that if you died today, you would go to heaven? I explain to people, if they ask me, or sometimes if they don't ask me, I ask them and then I tell them, here's how I would answer that. I know for certain. Built on God's integrity. Not Bob's integrity. If it was up to me, I'd be in one day and out the next. I couldn't make it on my own. None of us could. But because God said so, I have the full assurance that I have eternal life. Because if you have the Son, you have life. So maybe a better question for those of you who aren't quite sure, do you have the Son? Maybe a better question to ask is, does the Son have you? See? And you know, because His Spirit testifies to your spirit. Can you call Him Daddy? That's what Abba means there in Romans 8. So it's not a checklist. Chunk, 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 chunk. Said, I did this, I did this, I had this, I believe this. It is living relationship with Him. See, that's the evidence. That's the knowledge. Do you know that prayer works? Do you know that you're in the world, but not of the world? I simply want to give testimony. You can add it to the testimony of men category. As a result of reading 1 John, studying 1 John, preaching through 1 John, this preacher can say, I'm now ready to die. There's no fear in death. I am full of love. That is to say, there's no doubt that God loves me, not just more than I deserve, but He has lavished His love upon me. And therefore, I love you. And my life is about love. I can say that I'm confidently abiding in Him as a result of 1 John. I have no other desire. See, I'm not attracted to the things that I might have been attracted to at one time. And even when something has this glimpse of shine to it, you know, I say, you know, that's just a false promise. And it doesn't take me very long. See, I'm probably becoming one of those father Christians. I'm not a little child anymore. I'm not a young man Christian anymore. I'm one of those father Christians. And I'm saying, you know, there's an empty promise. Don't even go in that direction. And when it becomes, you know, fancy to me again, I don't even have to take the first step toward it to get reminded. It's like, you know, it's useless. Don't go there. And I can say I'm living with confidence as a result of 1 John. And so He has said, I write this that you may know, and you know, and you know. Just want to ask you and talk about it in your small groups this week. Has your confidence, has your assurance risen in the last 6 weeks? That you are more apt to speak about God? You see, I think that's something that goes on a lot of people's lives. Is they want to believe it, they listen to people that believe it, but they're not sure if they believe it, and then they weigh what they learn in church with what they weigh in the rest of the world, and it keeps them silent because they're just not sure. And what I love about John, it's sort of like what Jesus did with Peter at his reinstatement when Jesus said, do you agape me? He said, Lord, you know I phileo you. Do you agape me? You know I phileo you. And then Jesus said, well, do you even phileo me? And Peter said, you know, Lord, you know. And he was embarrassed in front of the other disciples. But you know the beauty of that passage? Is Jesus said, you're still usable. He said, you go feed my sheep. You go feed my lambs. He didn't chew Peter out and say, well, if that's all the love you can muster, then I can't use you. And John sort of does the same thing here. He says, the evidence is as sure as the testimony and the witness and the experiential knowledge. And that's enough that you can go out and testify about Him. So it is my prayer that you have gained great assurance. And you're living in greater confidence, and you're more apt to live victoriously. Let's pray. And as I pray, I'm going to ask the Mexico 2 group to come forward, and we want to share a few words. And I see Bridget's back, so Bridget, why don't you come up and share a few words about your trip and the kids' trip to teen missions? And we're going to sing a song for you after we say a few words, and then we'll be dismissed. So. Let me pray, you guys just make your way up. And I don't know if there's more in back. I know my family was coming. Anybody see more? Okay. I'll pray. Just step right up here, guys. Come on, don't be shy. Almighty Father in heaven, we do come before You and praise Your holy name for Your wonderful love. We thank You for all that we've learned from 1 John. Realizing, Lord, that John was dealing with issues in his day and people in his day, just as we. And we can have the victory, not simply by claiming it, not simply by saying Jesus, but we have the victory because it becomes reality to us when we live the life. We thank You for the testimony of the Father and the Son and the Spirit. We thank You for the testimony of the water and the blood. We thank You for the testimony of the Word. We thank You for the testimony of men. We thank You for the testimony of God's voice. And today, O Lord, as we go forth, might it be with gladness and freedom, because we have the Son, and He has life. In His name we pray. Amen.